Editions.
With the best range of carefully curated books in Christchurch, Scorpio Books is a sanctuary for book lovers, staffed by friendly, eclectic readers who will help you find the perfect present or your next favourite read. Come wander the aisles, settle into a comfy chair, and discover the best new releases in classics, fiction and non-fiction, on almost any topic you can imagine. And if we don't have what you want and it's still in print, we'll order it in for you. Lose yourself in this treasure trove for book lovers. An essential part of your weekend in Christchurch. Scorpio Books, located at 5 Lanes in the BNZ Centre, 120 Hereford Street. Shop online with free shipping around NZ at scorpiobooks.co.nz or find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Wowee, you are listening to Wow. Arty Breakfast, and I am chatting with none other than someone you've never heard the voice of before. Josh, good morning.
Hi. Feels so weird. I haven't been back yet.
It's a twilight zone.
Because we've talked like twice since, but it's been on the phone.
Yeah.
So this feels very weird. Back.
Yes.
I'm on the other side to what I'm usually on. I don't have headphones on.
Yeah. Okay.
I didn't wake. You know, like I haven't been here since 7:30. You know.
Yeah.
It's a weird
you
vibe.
Just popped on in as a Scorpio Books person. Indeed.
I know.
And you've still made yourself at home with a cuppa.
Yeah, I did make myself. So. I mean, I was like, look, man, I'm here. I know how the coffee machine works. Like, You know. Gonna use it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you've brought in John Green.
I have, Ben. So I was telling you before, I have been reading a lot recently, but a lot of stuff I've been reading has like been parts of series.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm starting to read Wheel of Time, which is like really good, but it's like a 12 book fantasy series, and I'm only like halfway through the first, so I don't really feel like I know enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then the other book I'm reading is like the fourth book in a series, so I'm not going to talk about a conclusion to a series. But I did read this in between the two because I wanted something that wasn't fiction. So a lot of people probably know John Green as Fault in Our Stars Man, which has kind of been his namesake for a while.
Hank's brother,
also known as Hank, very big on TikTok. So yeah, he's written several fiction books, Fault in Our Stars being probably the most popular, but a lot of people have probably also heard of Paper Towns, maybe Abundance of Catherines.
I bought Neve Looking for Alaska once.
Yeah, Looking for Alaska, yeah. if you're in the fringes. But this is actually his latest book. It just came out earlier this year. It's called The Anthropocene Reviewed, and it is, my version is water damaged, because it was raining one day and I had it in my backpack. Anyway, but basically he made a podcast called The Anthropocene Reviewed, where he would every week just talk about a different kind of thing to do with the Anthropocene. Do you know what the Anthropocene has been?
An FKA Twigs song.
Do you know?
So
what?
He writes about FKA Twigs.
Yes.
Wow, that's so cool.
Do you know what it is geologically?
No idea.
So you know how like we hear of like the prehistoric era, all that kind of stuff. The Anthropocene is the current era of geology, which is so fundamentally shaped by humans that like humans essentially created the Anthropocene. So that's like the current geological age that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a collection of short personal essays on various things to do with the human experience and the Anthropocene. For instance, you might have one on Halley's Comet, which is, you know, probably since before the Anthropocene. But
Billie Eilish song.
But then you also have ones on Super Mario Kart and the QWERTY keyboard and all that kind of stuff. So it's all kind of various things. And obviously, it's a very personal response to all of these things. It's not just like, here's a bunch of facts about blank. It's like, here's a bunch of interesting things about blank. And also, here's my personal experience with it and why I personally like it.
Mm-hmm.
I found it a lot more readable than his fiction books. So I read a lot of his fiction books when I was like, the age they were designed for. Like I think I read Looking for Alaska and Fault in Our Stars, and I think I read pretty much all of them when I was like, I don't know, 15, 16, you know, which is like the age those books are made for. And I have tried to go back and read them since, and they still do hold some shine, you know. If you look at them with nostalgia, they are quite nice. But it is, as now an adult, reading a book about like 15-year-olds, and the 15-year-olds are talking in like this beautiful, flowery, poetic, metaphorical language. And then I think back to what I was like when I was 15, and I was like, everything I said was just draped in like irony and self-hatred.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never said a sincere thought in, you know?
Where was the phrase Skucks McGee in Fault
in
Our Stars?
Yeah. You know, like everything you say that age is so just like, don't look at me. I'm ashamed of everything about my person. And then like John Green characters are just like, like a tree floating through the wind. And you're like, no, you know? So it's very frustrating. When you're that age, it's great. And when you're not that age, it can be kind of frustrating. Mm. So this was actually really nice because it still has that beautiful poetic language, which, like, you can't fault him for his prose. I think, like, he's a genuinely very good writer, and his language is, like, really, really conjures of certain mood.
Mm-hmm.
But because it's, like, an adult man talking in that language, it's, like, this feels, like, valid and reasonable, and like I can get behind this. It doesn't take me out of the experience. Mm-hmm. If anything, it brings me further in. So yeah, I really liked it. And it also just has some really fun stories that you can tell to your friends. Some really fun factoids. Would you like to hear one, Ben?
Sure.
Would you like to hear the two that I can remember off the top of my head are about Dr. Pepper or the board game Monopoly? Which one would you like to hear?
The board game Monopoly.
All right. So I could be getting this a little bit wrong. So someone is welcome to fact check me.
Okay.
But this I learned from John Green. So blame him if it's 100% wrong. But essentially, the current modern game of Monopoly that we know of was originally created by a woman far before it ever got patented and sold as a game. And she created the game. It was called the Landlord's Game. And she created two sets of rules. One set of rules is basically the current set of rules we currently play as. The other set of rules was like almost like a socialist version of Monopoly. It was a cooperative game where the overall goal of winning was for everyone to equally share the resources. And then a couple of people picked it up at college towns and stuff, and people started like actually playing it as a board game, whereas she kind of created it more as like an art piece.
Mm.
And they started playing as an actual board game. And obviously, if you're playing as a board game, the Monopoly version of the rules is more fun to play.
Competition.
Yeah, because there's a competition, there's a winner, etc. Eventually, it goes round and round and round until it gets to the guy who eventually patents it, sells it to Hasbro, tweaks the rules a little bit more, ends up making a fortune off of it. The original creator obviously makes nothing.
Mm.
And her original vision of it being like, because now we think of Monopoly as almost like a pro-capitalist game. You know, like Monopoly as being like, this is, you know, pro-capitalist. Obviously, the losers all should realize that it's not, but the winner always goes, this is great. Whereas it was originally created as a critique of capitalism, and now it's completely lost that kind of message. So yeah, that was one of the fun facts.
Nice. Well, we know he's not in heaven.
Who?
The guy that got all the money from Monopoly? Trust. And if he is, I can see the soul traveling out.
Traveling downwards.
So, and it's so intriguing, the way that you, I guess, frame John Green as a guy. It makes a lot of sense because it feels a little baseless for me considering he's an old guy writing about 15-year-olds. So,
doesn't surprise
me that you grab to his fiction more.
His non-fiction.
His non-fiction, yes. So, do you think he should be writing more non-fiction?
I think so, honestly. I also think... He could definitely write really good fiction. I think he just needs to write older characters. You know, like, I mean, obviously, I understand he's writing for a YA audience. And, like, from reading this, it also feels like he had a lot of really meaningful experiences in his youth that kind of, like, frame a lot of the books he writes. You know, like, Looking for Alaska is some people in, like, a boarding school. He went to, like, a boarding school in a similar setting, you know. So, like, a lot of these things are drawing off real-life experiences. But I think if he wants to make characters that are, like, more readable, they should be a little bit older because it's just the language is really beautiful, but I feel like when you get older, reading like a really young teenager talking that way just feels very, it takes you out a little bit.
Yeah.
But this I would highly recommend. I know we have a bunch of copies in the store because I've seen them. They're in our ecology and our literary section, so you should definitely pick it up.
What is it, the literary section?
No, so it's like literary criticisms, like essays and like that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Nice. Well, intriguing.
Thanks.
You really did fault the star.
Yeah, I did. I mean, but this book is great. I don't want to deter anyone from reading this because this is fantastic. And also, if you haven't read his fiction books, I think you should.
Mm.
They are like, they're really popular for a reason.
True.
And I think it's only, I think part of it is also I'm reading it a second time. So it doesn't have that like newness to it.
Yeah.
Now it's like, obviously when you read a book a second time, you're going to be a little bit more critical of it, which I think is what happened. But also it has been like maybe a year or two since I've tried. So maybe I should give it another shot. But yeah.
Fair. Well, thank you so much, Josh. John Green, The Anthropocene Reviewed.
Feel free
to text in at 021-RGU-985. It's 021-738-985. What's the question?
Ooh, the question is... I gave Ben a choice of two fun facts between Monopoly and something else.
I don't know the answer.
I'll give a hint. It was a beverage of some description.
Mm.
What was that other thing that I had a fun fact about?
Jeez, you really had to be listening.
Yeah.
Well, text in that answer, and if you get it right, you'll go in the draw to win the voucher.
Can I say a quick thing?
Sure, say several.
I just want to say, if you want to get books for Christmas, you definitely should. You should get books for Christmas. But if there's a book you particularly want that we don't necessarily think we're going to have in store, order it in sooner rather than later, because, you know, there's a global pandemic and things are taking a while to ship over to us at the moment, and we don't want people to be disappointed if their books aren't coming by Christmas. So if in the back of your head you're like, I might order that book in for Christmas, you should just come in and do it soon, because then we know that it's going to be good, and then everyone's going to be happy, and that's always great.
Nice. Yeah. Hey, it's my birthday next Monday, so treat yourself through me.
Yes.
You know, yes, gift yourself 100%. That gift. But get your texts in, answer correctly, and thank you so much, Josh, for
coming
in.
Thanks for having me.
Ahoy.
Jeez. Oh, so much fun.
Ahoy.